It appears that Americans are becoming more unified on the issue of climate change and more supportive of governmental action to reduce carbon emissions. Why the change in attitudes? Well, perhaps everybody read a recent in-depth report on BuzzFeed titled How Climate Change Will End Wine as We Know It. Do we have your attention now? Joining us to talk about the effects of climate change on wine growing is BuzzFeed news reporter Sandra Allen. She wrote this piece. Sandra, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Sandra, the title of your article is bold. It's a bit scary. What do you mean by the end of wine as we know it?
I'm being a little tricky with the as we know it, admittedly. The big story here is that climate change is going to bring about a lot of ends for wine worldwide. And then the as we know it is tricky because there's also the silver lining to this story, which is regions that were formerly too cold to produce wine reliably, like Tasmania or British Columbia or England, where I actually did some reporting for this story, are now potentially going to have viable wine regions.
The report you quote in your article gives a very broad range of the potential decrease of wine regions between 25 and over 70%. So why this really broad range?
So the study I'm referencing was published in 2013 by the Proceedings for the National Academy of Sciences. And the estimation is broad, I think, because it two things. There's the difference in the carbon emission scenario. So there's kind of the business as usual numbers, and then there's the if things continue to get worse numbers. But second, there is a tension between what people who actually work in grape growing and winemaking would perceive to be going on and what wine grapes can tolerate is debatable. And winemakers are always adapting year to year. Grape growers are always adapting. There's technology that can help people adapt to change.
What are some wine growers doing already to adapt to new challenges, and what could they potentially do in the future?
One thing that's definitely happening already is winemakers can look at the kind of varietal, so basically which grape they're growing. So if you were growing Pinot Noir in your vineyard and it's getting hotter, maybe you make the decision to replant with Cabernet Sauvignon. One of the reasons that wine is of interest to climate scientists who want to look at agriculture and what it's up against in terms of climate change is that wine is really slow moving. So if I wanted to change my vineyard over, I can't just do that overnight or in a single season. That's going to take years before I've converted to a different kind of wine grape. And then there's the question of quality. So if a given wine region is known, if it's built its entire, you know, viticulture off of a particular grape, so we could use an old world example, like Burgundy's, you know, built its entire identity around Pinot Noir. Burgundian winemakers know Pinot Noir, and for them to just switch to another grape would almost be completely unheard of. It would be like changing cuisines. And then the last thing that wine producers can do and already are doing, and I open with an anecdote about an Australian producer. They had a really bad drought in 2008. It was very hot. The company made the decision, sort of as a result of that, to purchase a bunch of viable viticultural area in Tasmania, an island south of Australia, which is previously too cold to reliably produce fine wine, but now is becoming more friendly to wine. And so producers are sort of looking at the world map and are seeing places like England or British Columbia or Tasmania as potential places to invest.
Now, Sandra, I'm sure scientists and wine growers observe climate in different ways. What did the wine growers say to you about how they perceive this threat to their livelihood and how bad they think it is, essentially?
I think in general, people didn't think it was that bad, which seems pretty human to me. The folks I spoke with in Australia were the most frank and kind of open about acknowledging that things have gotten hot and things have gotten dry. And in some areas, there won't be a lot of change, at least right away. And in some areas, that change might not take the shape of just things being hotter. It might take the shape of erratic weather, for example, or an increased instance of big weather events like hail or like flooding. And really, as I write in the piece, one of the worst things for winemakers is unpredictability. You have one shot to harvest, and then you begin the winemaking process and then eventually aging and bottling. And you're hopefully trying to really capture the very best of what that geography and that climate has to offer. So grape growers and winemakers, their whole livelihood is built off of an understanding of how a very particular place works in concert with a very particular weather pattern.
And finally, from your reporting, are there any specific varietals that are especially threatened? Anything I should stock up on, so to say?
Anything to stock up on. No, not specific varietals. I mean, I used Pinot Noir as an example before, in part because it is a notoriously finicky grape. I would say the things to stock up on would be your huge, big-bodied reds, especially Old World reds, because those are going to be the things that are threatened first. So wines from the Iberian Peninsula or Italy or southern France, Australian Shiraz, and then what we're going to be seeing more of as these kind of cooler climates become more viable for winemaking are more sparkling wines and aromatic white wines and things like that. So like in England, for example, the big, and Tasmania actually, but the big products are becoming sparkling wines. So one thing you're definitely going to see is the English making a really intense play to compete with champagne when it comes to the sparkling wine game.
Well, cheers. Sandra, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sandra Allen is deputy features editor for BuzzFeed News, and she recently wrote an article titled How Climate Change Will End Wine as We Know It.
I'm praying for rain in California so that grapes can grow and they can make more wine.
You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott.